The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
We all know the importance of teamwork in business and at home. In fact, I'll be willing to bet that you've probably attended a workshop or two on the subject where you learned the importance of everyone doing his or her part for the good of the team. But do you know the difference between teamwork and collaboration? In collaboration, people leverage the diversity of strengths and information their teams bring to the table, thus creating a bigger multiplying effect. It is the ultimate in creating a whole that is larger than the sum of its parts. Thomas Edison, the greatest inventor of all times, with nearly 1,100 patents in his name, was not only a team player, he was a great collaborator. Most notably, he collaborated with Madame Marie Curie, who pioneered the concept of radiation to collectively arrive at a major diagnostic and therapeutic breakthrough known as fluoroscopy, a common imaging technique that allows doctors to get real-time moving images from inside your body that cannot be done with a static X-ray. We'll hear much more on the value of collaboration from none other than Thomas Edison's great-grandniece, Sarah Miller Caldicott. This is Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. I'm Chris Efesiou. A great-grandniece of Thomas Edison, Sarah Miller Caldicott, has been engaged in creativity and innovation throughout her life. A former marketing executive with Global 500 firms, including Quaker Oats and a subsidiary of Unilever, Sarah is the CEO of the Power Patterns of Innovation. An award-winning speaker and innovation process expert, she is the author of several books. Her newest book, Midnight Lunch, The Four Faces of Team Collaboration Success from Thomas Edison's Labs, brings Edison's collaboration approach into the digital era, offering executives at every level new tools for driving innovation through collaboration. It is truly my pleasure to have Sarah Caldicott as my guest today. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
Please set the stage for us by giving us some background of your activities in business and what it is that you arrived at where you are today.
Sure. Well, I was always very interested in new products and how we bring new products to market. I studied marketing in business school. I was an English major actually in college, so really kind of shifted gears as I went and pursued my MBA. Headed into career product development. I worked in brand management at the Quaker Oats Company for many years and then went on to pursue product management at Helene Curtis, which is now a subsidiary of Unilever. So I worked in domestic capacities in the U.S., and went on to then become an international marketing director for Helene Curtis. So for the first 15 years of my career, I was really looking at businesses, looking at brands, identifying how companies could make their products grow and how we could make things more attractive to consumers. So that's really a bit of my business background. On the personal side, I learned that I was a great-grandniece of Thomas Edison when I was 6 years old. And I think this is part of what actually spurred my interest in new things, in new products, and just the inspiration and dedication that it takes to bring something new and innovative into the marketplace. So I've really not leveraged a lot of my unique background as a great-grandniece of Edison until, roughly 10 years ago or so, when I began researching Edison's life. And that led me into a very interesting series of journeys, one facet of which was to write some books about Edison and focus on how we can really draw his success into our business lives and our personal lives today.
Fascinating. I have read your read your background in on your bio, and from what you mentioned just now, that you've been a brand manager.
Yes.
Having been one myself, and I know you were with Miles Laboratories at some point, and I was with a pharmaceutical company, Boehringer Ingelheim. Being a brand manager, in my mind, not only do you have to be the team player, you have to be the collaborator, because
yes,
you're managing a brand, you depend on people over whom you have no authority.
That's right. And product management, brand management is really crucial for that reason. It's a kind of a leadership function, actually, in a way, where you're working with people in the sales area, in manufacturing, people who are actually in research and development to help assist with making the product itself, working in exchange with consumer research, and many other parts of an organization. So product managers, brand managers are really kind of at the center of the wheel, if you will, kind of the hub. So there is a lot of collaboration that happens.
And it's a great place to learn it, but for those of us who are not necessarily as skilled in the differences between teamwork and collaboration, would you define for us what each is and how collaboration is the preferred way to go, if you will?
Well, I think teamwork and collaboration are both needed in an organization. Teamwork is excellent for tasks that have sort of a time-bound component to them. When there's a particular deadline that you have, it might be 60 days away, 90 days away, or it could be something that involves dividing up roles, where things can be fairly neatly identified and fairly neatly created in a structure of some type. So people can say, okay, you do this, and you do that. And the team then pulls together and does their job. They do their individual components of these tasks. So teamwork is crucial, often for getting things done very rapidly. But collaboration is different from that. Collaboration really involves a longer period of time, a group that is going to be together for some months or possibly even longer, and the desire to work along a continuum, the desire to work in a discovery learning capacity, where it really isn't about tasks and fulfilling things in the next day, 2 days, 4 days, or week, but learning something over time, delivering something over time, creating something new over time. So collaboration is unique from teamwork in that way. Both are needed, but collaboration is very powerful as we look at our lives today and think about how we can be unique, how we can differentiate ourselves. That is less, a team is less able to do that if they look at it as teamwork and dividing things up, as opposed to how can we pull together, how can we leverage the strengths that we have, the unique capabilities and gifts that we have, and bring something new to the marketplace.
Is there, do you find that more leadership is required to be a collaborator than to be a team player?
Well, I think different types of leadership are involved. As I studied Thomas Edison, really what he was doing was, I see two forms of leadership. One form was the inspirational leader. He was excellent at putting out a vision, a big picture of what he wanted his employees and his teams to accomplish, and that helped propel them over time. It helped move them forward even when things were difficult. That inspirational view, if you will, is very important. The second part of leadership that I saw Edison providing was what I call in my book shoulder-to-shoulder leadership. And that's the actual rolling up of the sleeves, delving into the work itself, understanding some of the key issues and components of what's happening, and not just kind of touching base or looking at it from afar, but actually understanding from a working vantage point what a particular team is going through. So because he had these two different leadership capabilities, he was also able to model those behaviors and groom other leaders in his organization to have those same qualities. So it wasn't just Edison who provided inspirational leadership, and it wasn't just he who was, you know, in the shoulder-to-shoulder mode. He really was able to clone, if you will, other people to assist in those roles. And that's partly why he was so successful.
That's true, and if I am hearing you correctly, Edison, or most collaborators, must be mentors, because shoulder-to-shoulder and organizing your team does mean a whole lot of mentoring, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Demonstrating for people how something is done, identifying what a thought process involved. I think this is a lot of what we can miss today from leaders. And also giving people challenges with frameworks associated with them, saying, okay, here's what I'd like you to bring to me a few months from now. Here are some guidelines. Go. Not giving them every step, but allowing them to discover, allowing them to experiment and test their way, if you will. I think sometimes we hesitate to do that as leaders today.
Yes, sometimes we... My opinion, sometimes we hesitate to do that because we believe that the quickest way of getting something done is to give a bit too much information so as to circumvent or shorten the trip.
Right, right.
While that may be true short term, long term, it actually hinders the amount of creativity one would go through if they were to have a roadmap, a few waypoints, but not necessarily a GPS to get them there.
Yes, that's right. We don't offer the skill sets to people that allow them to then self-manage in some ways and also express certain areas of their own strength. So the challenge that we have is we can't always be over-functioning for other people. We've got to give them some guidelines and some openings to be able to discover things for themselves.
My guest is Sarah Caldicott, and this is Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris Efesiou. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life. Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu. My guest is Sarah Caldicott, and we are talking about the power of innovation and the difference in between teamwork and collaboration. Throughout this hour, I look forward to hearing your questions. You can do that by calling 1-866-472-5788 or email your questions to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Please visit Sarah's website at powerpatterns.com, her Facebook page, Power Patterns of Innovation, and follow her on Twitter at Sarah Caldicott. Sarah, let's talk about the phrase you have coined. Certainly caught my attention when I saw it, and I'm sure it will have the same effect for our listeners. You have, you're terming collaboration as a super skill. Tell us why.
Well, a lot of times in business, we talk about hard skills and soft skills. And hard skills tend to be things like functional expertise in finance or excellence in engineering, scientific acumen, something of those, of that nature, something you studied for as part of a degree or a particular skill set that you've developed over time through experience in the workplace. Soft skills tend to be things like leadership or communication, the ability to motivate other people, very important skills, but not always easily measured. And so hence, often they're called soft skills. I describe collaboration as a super skill because it really blends both hard skills and soft skills. On the hard skill side, really what you need to be able to do in collaboration is synthesize data. You need to be understanding what is actually currently happening and some of what has happened from a metric point of view, from a data perspective. You also need to have some sense of technology, or whether that's a technology platform like a smart device or some type of skill set that's associated with technology. On the soft skill side, as we talked about earlier in the program, things like mentorship, motivation of others, the ability to develop others, communicating powerfully, allowing dialogue and debate to exist on your team. Those are some of the soft skills, if you will, that are part of collaboration. So as we put all of these into a big pot, as it were, we can look at collaboration as a unique animal, as a unique capability. So I think it really does bear the moniker of super skill for us today.
It does make sense, and I'm intrigued by the synthesis of relationships and information and the combination of it all, which, again, it makes sense for those of us in the business world. Most good things do happen through a collaborative effort as opposed to a straight-up individualized team approach. Because, again, there is more like a one- or two-way street as opposed to the highway.
Sure. Well, collaboration is really about creating that invisible glue. It's about connecting the people on the team in ways that are very hard to see or measure. But it's that intangible chemistry that people can describe in words, but it often is about shared experience. So collaboration is very important as we think about sharing a common content. People who are going through some of the same things together. That is a big part of what collaboration is, and you've got to be able to contribute to that in multiple ways. So there's your super skill again. But it is about this bonding process and bringing people together in a unique harmony.
So collaboration in business, it's fairly understandable. Are there occasions where you can take that collaborative spirit, collaborative effort, and apply it to life in general, to personal relationships, to parenting?
Well, absolutely. And I think it's very important for us to think about some of the capabilities that we want our children to develop over time. As business people, we see the importance of collaboration in the workplace and beyond. And offering kids a way to think about how they engage in dialogue, how willing they are to disagree with other people, their willingness to actually engage in conversations that they might not know a lot about. Those are part of the skills that come into play when we think about collaboration. A lot of times as well, we see kids sometimes making snap judgments. Well, they'll just dismiss something out of hand and say, oh, well, you know, that's stupid, or, oh, that doesn't really interest me. I'm going to move in a different direction. Allowing them to say, okay, let's just take another look at this. Let's just try it. Let's do an experiment and see if there might be something here rather than just dismissing it. So some of those skills are part of what are very valuable for kids to take on board as they're growing and maturing.
And of course, to a child, pointing them back to somebody who is well known, well written in the history books, as well as the commercial press, such as Thomas Edison, may be that much more of a motivating kind of a thing. I just had an email from a listener who said, "Did Thomas Edison invent anything other than the light bulb?" And I don't know that I can name a whole lot of his inventions, but children that are listening to music today can thank him for inventing the
Absolutely.
Phonograph, I believe it was.
Well, recorded sound, right. The phonograph and the record. Very, very important capability for us today. A huge industry as it grew out over the decades and is now a multi-billion dollar industry. The movies, another area where Edison was a pioneer. He invented the first motion picture camera, the first films and motion pictures themselves. He actually had studios and places for the movies to be filmed. He developed licensing programs and all kinds of distribution mechanisms for his movies. So that's a big area that we can thank Edison for as well. Portable power, the battery, the storage battery, what we would call the alkaline battery today, something that does not have any lead in it or have any chemicals in it, but is easy to carry around. That's another innovation that Edison pioneered. So in addition to the incandescent electric light and the system of electrical power, there are many other areas of endeavor that we can look to Edison and tip our hat with a thank you.
Indeed. So collaboration involves inspiration. Certainly, Edison inspired his people. It inspired those who worked for him. He inspired those who worked with him. How inspirational can parents get or need to get their children to collaborate in things that are for the benefit of the family, for the benefit of persons other than just the parent and or the child?
Well, I think some of this can come in the form of working in community, volunteer efforts that kids can undertake, working to assist in programs that are part of their neighborhood. That could be involving seniors. It could be involving other children, even in the form of tutoring, let's say. Certainly today, food pantries and places like that are very important areas where kids can learn about some of the realities that we face in life. Inspiration can come from seeing hardship. It can come from seeing some of the gaps and challenges that we find in life around us. One of the things that I find incredibly inspirational about Edison and his own life, he was actually deaf in his left ear by the time he was 16. And he did not really have a lot of advantages growing up. He was the youngest of seven children, and his oldest living sibling was 10 years older than he. So he had to really kind of make his own way. His parents were a little bit older. He didn't have a great experience in school, so he was homeschooled. And as a result of his mother's tutelage, primarily, he became very interested in a number of subjects. Certainly chemistry and mathematics were part of that, but he also loved to read. He loved to read Shakespeare. He loved to read novels and science fiction. It was really a lifelong pursuit for him. So I think part of inspiring our kids is to expose them to different experiences, to expose them to things that are in their community, to expose them to books, ideas. This is an area where I think kids can really kind of catch on fire with being motivated to read more about something, to understand something. The internet can be part of that as well. But as parents, I think some of what we can lay out to help inspire our kids is to show them different experiences and offer them different ways of engaging with the world besides school itself.
Very astute statement. We will talk more about that and a whole lot more when we come back. My guest is Sarah Caldicott, and this is Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris Afasiou. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu with my guest, Sarah Caldicott. For information on this program and other activities, please visit my website, chrisepicu.com or cdochiefdaddyofficer.com. My Facebook page is Chris Epicu, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Please call us with your questions at 866-472-5788 or email your questions to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Be sure to visit Sarah's website at powerpatterns.com, Facebook page, Power Patterns of Innovation, and follow her on Twitter at Sarah Caldicott. So, innovation, teamwork, collaboration, in business, in families, seems to me that that people ought to be doing, and certainly great innovators and great humanitarians have a whole lot in common, and that is they have taken their craft, their invention, their skill, their art, and they have given it for free to those who couldn't afford it, not necessarily in financial terms, but in humanitarian terms that really cannot be measured at the other end. Would you agree?
I do agree. And I think it's important to look broadly at what Edison accomplished in his lifetime. I mentioned a little earlier the battery, the movies, recorded sound, electrical power, and there are other areas as well. But one very important contribution that Edison made was in health. He worked with Madame Curie in looking at radium and radiation and understanding its properties. In the 1890s and at the turn of the 20th century, these were very, very new concepts and new ideas. A lot was going on in the world of health to look at the human body and try to understand the various systems of the body, the circulatory system, respiratory system, and so on. So Edison, in his work with Madame Curie, learned about radium and what was actually possible, what the properties of radium involved, and the unique capability that it had to fluoresce other substances, to sort of illuminate them. And Edison worked on an invention called a fluoroscope, which was a way for doctors to actually look into the human body without any type of surgery. It was kind of a form of an X-ray, as we would know it today. What a fluoroscope involved was a piece of radium that was typically in a box, and it was set below a table. The patient would lie on the table, and the doctor would have kind of a large plate, if you can imagine, that had fluorescing chemicals on it. And the doctor would pass the plate over the patient and could actually see the dense tissue and the skeletal structure of the patient just through that process. So it was kind of like an instant x-ray, if you will. And fluoroscopy is actually still used today, as you mentioned at the start of the program, but this was a radical technology. This was almost like science fiction in its time. So what Edison elected to do with this invention was to not patent it. He never generated any royalties or any income from this invention. He did not want to benefit from illness. That was really how he looked at it at that time. So in this way, he sort of gave this technology to humankind, and we're still benefiting from it today.
It's a fascinating story. It's a very well written blog that appeared on Forbes magazine on January 22nd. It's called Innovation, Medicine, and a Healthy Dose of Compassion. If you're interested, it's available online, and I would recommend that you take a look at it. It actually gives you a great deal of insight into the man, as well as the definition of collaboration. As Sarah just described, radium was not invented or identified or studied by Edison. That was the work of a chemist, Madame Marie Curie. He collaborated with her to increase the understanding and apply his multitude of skills to take radium and make it medical fluoroscopy.
Yes.
And to think about the lasting power that effect that invention has had, there are not very many things that have been invented in modern medicine that are around and in primary use 100 years later.
Yes, it's quite rare. That's absolutely true.
And if I'm not mistaken, that was actually the invention was at the very late 1800s, early 1900s. So we're 100 years past that.
Yes, and we can look at vaccinations and the development of antibiotics and things of that nature as other very important and powerful discoveries in the world of medicine, but they're not quite the same in that, you know, organizations have derived profit from those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a very positive thing. It's a powerful thing. I think what we can look to is see Edison as driving social innovation as much as he was driving commercial innovations. So it's important, I think, that we see a balance there, that he wasn't just out always to, you know, make money for his own benefit. He was very interested in creating good for humankind. He also shared many of the revenues from his patents with those who had aided him. In his time, only two people could appear on a patent. So it was hard for him to choose between his children, as it were, as to who was going to receive the benefit of royalties for the patents that he did bring forward. But he went into a profit-sharing structure in his laboratory and his manufacturing facilities so that everybody could benefit from the good that came from these innovations. So there were some interesting social innovations that Edison pioneered, and we can see some of the power of social innovation today as we look at microlending and many other initiatives that have been brought forward to help people who live in rural areas or who don't have all the advantages of you know, modern life as we might know it in a city.
What are some suggestions you might have of taking the true innovative spirit, that is not necessarily the inventive spirit, though that's very important, but the innovative spirit, the kind of thing that makes you build a better mousetrap as opposed to inventing the mousetrap. To what degree can that mentality be applied in today's world? In business, in politics, in social environments, that's the area that you operate in. Give us your wisdom.
Well, I think one of the qualities that's essential It's essential in business. It's essential as part of parenting and raising kids. It's essential as we look at the breadth of our lives is persistence. We must be willing to persist and to not let failures or obstacles that might arise stop us or deter us from a goal that we have. Really, we can look to Edison for a lot of examples of this. I mentioned that he was deaf in his left ear at age 16. This was a very challenging thing that lasted throughout his entire life. He lived to be 84. But he didn't let it stop him. He didn't let it stop him from enjoying concerts or music. I mean, here's the man who invented recorded sound. It's somewhat ironic, it seems to me, that he was actually hearing impaired. So he did not let some of these things stop him. He went through lawsuits. People tried to delay his advances in various areas of industry by suing him. And he was spent a lot of time in court around the whole notion of electrical power and the invention of the light bulb. And this was also true in part for the movies. So he had to persist through some of the lawsuits. He had to persist through other challenges that were even more severe, at least in my opinion. It is believed that there may have been arson involved, for example, in a large fire that took place, I believe it was 1913, right around Christmas time. It was the middle of the month of December. You know, a time when you're shipping product, right, for Christmas orders,
right.
One of the biggest revenue in times of the year. He was in his West Orange laboratory at that point in his career, a 15-acre campus that had, I don't know exactly how many buildings, but it was, you know, up in near 20. And 13 of the buildings burned down in one night and cost him the equivalent of $5 million because many of those buildings were privately insured. He didn't have full insurance on all of them. So imagine that you're in your 60s. It's Christmas time, biggest revenue-generating season of the year, and 13 of your factories burned down in one day. Destroying intellectual property, destroying original documents, destroying all kinds of records and machines. But Edison, even as he was watching the fire, was drawing and sketching out layouts for the new buildings he was going to erect in their stead. And in fact, Henry Ford, who was a friend of Edison, had invented the assembly line at that point, and he decided he was going to put assembly lines in his phonograph factories so he could update the technology as he would move into the next generation of manufacturing. So I look at that as another instance of tremendous persistence on Edison's part, to be able to then go into his personal investments and have to get financial loans and so on to pay off all of the damages from that incident and move forward. So it was very motivating to his employees that he said, you know, we're not shutting the doors, we're going to continue. And he was up and running in 30 days. He outsourced some of his work to vendors and suppliers. He had a very broad supply network, and it definitely aided him in that situation. So we have to be persistent. We have to move forward and not let obstacles deter us.
We have a question from a listener, Arthur from Cincinnati. He asks, Sarah, growing up in a family with such a legend, did you feel pressure to invent or create something that would contribute to humankind?
Well, you know, my relationship to Thomas Edison is through his second wife, Mina, whom he married in 1886. Edison was 39. His first wife had passed away. So I'm actually related to Edison by marriage. So I don't have any of the DNA flowing through my veins. But that said, I didn't feel any pressure. In fact, my family actually was not very interested in the Edison heritage. So my real challenge was actually kind of later in life looping back to delve into the heritage and begin to look at it and own it as part of our family rather than having it brushed to the side. So there was no pressure.
That's good to hear. And we'll hear a whole lot more when we come back. My guest is Sarah Caldicott, and this is Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris Efesio. We'll be back in a moment.
News, opinion, your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787, 1-866-472-5787, voiceamerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesio understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesio. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesio. My guest is Sarah Caldicott. Please visit her website at powerpatterns.com. Her Facebook page is Power Patterns of Innovation, and she is Sarah Caldicott on Twitter. During the break, Sarah and I were commenting on the mental power and the stick-to-itiveness that it takes to absorb a loss such as a $5 million loss by arson, such as what he sustained just before Christmas during the major shipping time of product out of the door. And most people, I'm sure you'd agree, will be a little bit less than aggressive about that. They'll collapse under the gravity of what just happened to them. And the idea, actually the fact, that he began sketching the replacement plant together with improvements that he was going to make on that plant by transferring the assembly line from Ford to his plant. That is a mindset. That is what creates a leader. And as Sarah said during the break, imagine what that does to the team of people who are around him. I mean, that is the kind of Kool-Aid you do want to drink.
Absolutely true. And it was never proven that it was arson. I think the challenge is that the buildings didn't really have a lot of flammable things in them, and that's what led to some of the suspicion that might be the case. But yes, it's important that we work with people who inspire us. I think that's part of what enables us to continue and to develop that quality of persistence in ourselves, and Edison really did that. He was able to motivate people in that way.
We have another question that is an incredibly well thought out and complicated question. It says this, asks this rather, do you believe that the heritage of Edison concerning the capacity and complexity of thinking drives today's industry to develop innovative and complicated, but at the same time, user-friendly products?
Well, it is an excellent question, and I believe that yes, Edison's ability to develop capacity for solving things and for addressing complexity absolutely was a big part of his success as an innovator. One of the things that's true is that Edison's big innovations were platforms. They weren't just one individual invention. They were actually sequences of things that worked together. So, for example, recorded sound, it was the phonograph and the record together and the recording studios, etc., that created the power there. The light bulb, plus the entire system of electrical power, which included the measuring and the delivering of the power, the movies, creating the machines and actually the equipment to play the movies, developing the movies themselves. I mean, these are very complicated concepts. They were platforms. So the notion of having the capacity to conceive of these things and to then engineer them is very significant and definitely part of Edison's success. And we see this today. In the form of user-friendliness, there are algorithms that underlie things like Facebook. The ability to use things seamlessly, there are a lot of complicated software programs and so on that underlie many of the things we engage with every day. So user-friendliness does not mean simplicity. It means simplicity of use. But there can be tremendously complex things that underlie that. We can look at the stock market. We can look at the workings of the Internet. These are man-made complex systems, if you will. But to actually execute a trade doesn't really take all that much time. So we can engage with these complex systems in ways that are simple for us as users, but they still involve a lot of thought, a lot of conceptual thinking and industry behind the inventions themselves.
One more question comes to us from Janice in West Palm Beach. It says, in the face of challenges and difficulties, how can we inspire young people not to give up on an idea or goal and to keep on keeping on their path?
Well, this is something I write about in Midnight Lunch, which is a book that I wrote that came out just a few weeks ago, where I talk about Edison and the power of collaboration. There's a section in which I talk about coherence. Of the four phases, coherence is the third phase. How do you keep people staying together? How do you keep them pressing forward? We talked about inspiration. One of the other pieces is progress. How do you measure progress? What is your definition for progress? We're seeing changes in how progress is actually measured and defined. The baby boomers, for example, often think of progress in financial terms, or what their title at the office is, or what type of car they drive, or how much money they make. But for younger people who are coming into the workplace now, that isn't necessarily what progress looks like. Progress can be meaning. It can be purpose. It can be doing something that has a contributory value to others. So, inspires. How can we even look at progress differently as parents? So, So I think there's an aspect there that is important around meaning, around purpose, in ways that we can look at inspiration for our kids.
Very, very wise comment. I wish we had an awful lot more time to talk. Sarah, I want to thank you for everything you have brought forth, not only the difference between teamwork and collaboration, which obviously is essential in business and at home, but also understanding and making a legend a real human and connecting those attributes to somebody who is revered as the greatest inventor of all times. Thank you for your time, and I hope we can connect again, and hope to have you back on the show sometime soon.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I urge your listeners to have a look at Midnight Lunch and bring it in as part of their work operations or their parenting needs.
Wonderful advice. Midnight Lunch, and that can be found on Amazon?
Yes, it's on Amazon and also available for the Kindle and the Nook and the iPad.
Great advice. Please do that. Midnight Lunch by Sarah Miller Caldicott. I hope you join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East 3 West on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. Let's talk more next week. I'm Chris Evasiu. Thanks for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Evasiu, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.